and killing innocent people, resistance and war. And I think it's very important for us to get a better understanding of the Islamic tradition. We need two things, and I will come back to this in my conclusion, but we need better knowledge, a better understanding, and we need more courage. And I will come to this because I really think that today the psychological pressure that we are facing is a kind of a jihad, which is an effort, resistance. The way I define jihad is not war, it's not only effort. The very meaning is effort, but mainly is resistance and reform. And I will come to this understanding during my talk. Understanding the Islamic tradition as the first point of my introduction is really to come to the different levels and the chronology and to understand what was said first, what was said after, and in which way the overall message of Islam is asking us to deal with killing, violence, war, and in which way we have to understand this. So really we have to come to this, and this will be my first part. And I want you here to be quite attentive, because really it's to be aware of the principles. Because if we are serious about adding something to the understanding of the world in the pluralistic world, for you in Canada, you are citizens, you are living with people, fellow citizens, they might not understand what Islam is, they might not understand what are your principles, and you might not understand what is coming from other traditions. And I really think that we have to just take a moment to understand better our tradition. Now, not only it's important to understand, but we are facing reality and our daily life and what is happening at the national level and the international level. It's important to know now we have the principles, how are we going to implement that? What is, in practical terms, our attitude towards wars and conflicts today? We have to be practical. And anyone who is telling you, you know what, at the end, even if it's the previous American president of the United States of America, saying Islam is a religion of peace, we have to be very cautious. It's a very simplistic statement. The objective of Islam is peace, but you have to face conflict. And the first conflict is in your inner self. No. It's forbidden. I know, some people came to me and said, stop with this fatwa, it's not helping us. I'm sorry, you have so many other lectures when you can clap. Now you concentrate during 40 minutes. It helps me and it helps you. But the point here is really, you have to face conflicts. And the first is, وَنَفْسِ وَمَا سَمْوَاهَا فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. In yourself, you have this attraction that you love the beauty and truth. وَزُيِّنَا. This is the dimension of al-Iman. حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانُ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Allah SWT beautifies Iman in your heart, and He made it something that you like. So you like this truth and this light. But at the same time, زُيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبِّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. You are attracted by the world. So it's conflict. Jihad al-Nafs is just to master this in yourself. So it's to make peace. That peace is an objective, and conflict is a necessary means. And this is very important, and you will get it at the collective level. So all the people who are only speaking about peace, peace and love, be careful. Peace and love are objectives, and we have to be ready. It's not because you are speaking about peace that you are not going to face hatred. And this was the fate of all the prophets and messengers. And this was what the Prophet, peace be upon him, والسلام, heard from the very beginning, from Waraqa ibn Nawfal. They are going to reject you. You come to speak about love and peace, they are going to reject you. Because the call for peace is not heard by all the people, because people are attracted by oppression and power and money and greed. This is what we have to face. So if we want to be instrumental and to come with something which is positive in our societies, we should be ready for that. Calling for peace, knowing that we are going to face conflicts, and we have to solve that. So this is the understanding of Islam in practical terms. And then we also have to acknowledge the fact that from the very beginning, what I'm going to say here might be one interpretation among interpretations. And there is something in Islam which is a diversity of interpretations. It's an accepted diversity. So the Prophet, peace be upon him, from the very beginning, he accepted different interpretations of what he was saying among the scholars, among the companions. So the companions who became scholars for us, he accepted this. Between, you know, the differences between Umar ibn al-Khattab and Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiallahu anhum, this was accepted. He accepted this. He was dealing with a diversity of opinions. It's not because we differ in opinions that we are less Muslim. So there is something which is called an accepted diversity. Now, we should be clear that there are limits. There are things that are beyond what is accepted. That we can say, it is not Islamic. You can even say, it's against Islam. Just after what happened in the United States of America, but not only. Start with this, please. When the people in the West, in Canada, are talking about violence against civilians, please don't only speak about the States or Madrid or London. Speak about Dar al-Baydar, Morocco, Bali, Indonesia, Iraq, Afghanistan, Palestine. Speak about all. They all have the same value. No. So this is something which is the starting point of our position. You start by speaking about all the humans, human beings around the world, and you don't buy this differentiation between what is happening in the West and what is happening in the Muslim majority countries or in the South or in Africa. While I'm talking now, millions of Africans are being killed and there are civil wars. We don't talk about this. It's as if it's not existing. It's not in the media, and when it's not in the media, it's not a reality. And the problem is, it's not only not a reality for our fellow citizens, it's sometimes not a reality for Muslims. You today are less concerned with what is happening in Palestine because it's not in the media. You are very often media followers because you are not informed. While the people are suffering every day, we have to be serious about justice and know what we are talking about. So this is something which is the starting point of our discussion, which is now there is an accepted diversity and there are things that are beyond what Islam is accepting, and we should be clear on that. Now let me come to the principles of our religion and to start with the chronology because it's quite important. It's quite important to understand that at the beginning, when the Prophet was getting the revelation from the Suyuti, the fourth revelation, the Prophet heard, وَاصْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. Meaning by this, you are going to be attacked, be patient, be perseverant, be endurant with what they are saying, and exile yourself from them. Don't react, just take distance. So you have to resist, which is a peaceful resistance. This is the starting point. And then it happened that they were always putting the pressure. What he got from the Quran, وَلَا تُطِعَ الْكَافِرِينَ وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ جِهَادًا كَبِيرًا. The first time you have the concept of jihad in the Quran is in this verse, saying what? Don't follow, don't obey the people who are denying God, denying the truth of your religion. Don't obey. The first attitude, don't obey. Stand up, don't obey. And then, وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ الْهِيَا is the Quran, intellectual jihad. So they are going to attack you, respond, but with your mind, with your, this is the starting point, which is peaceful and then intellectual resistance. But there should be an intellectual resistance. I would like to see Canadian Muslims intellectually resistant. So you have to equip yourself. You are not going to face the psychological attacks if you are not intellectually equipped. وَأَعِدُّ لَهُمْ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَّةٍ. قُوَّةٍ, power, is intellectual power as well. Be equipped. Read. So this is the problem, which is the Quran is, and it's giving you this necessary means to resist. But it's not the only thing. You have people attacking you and you have to be equipped. So this is the starting point. صَبْرًا يَا أَلَى يَسِرٍ. The Prophet ﷺ, when they were oppressed,
He was telling them, be patient, perseverance. موعدنا الجنة. So they are torturing you, they are oppressing you, but you have to resist in a peaceful way. This was the first attitude. And this attitude is very important to all of us. It means that there is one strategy when you are oppressed, is to be intellectually equipped, but not violent. So you exile yourself. So this is one thing. Is it the only Islamic message? Is it the only thing that we got from the Prophet? No. When they arrived in Medina, after this oppression was so heavy, the Prophet ﷺ sent people to Al-Habasha to protect them, and then it was too much, so he had to leave the country. And he arrived in Medina, and he said to the Muslims, arriving in Medina, Ifshu Salam, spread peace. Now we are coming here to settle down, spread peace. أطعموا الطعام, سلوا الأرحام, صلوا والناس نيام, تدخلوا الجنة بسلام. Peace, it's all about peace. And at the same time, while the people in Mecca, they wanted to destroy them, they wanted to kill them, they wanted to remove this Islamic community, أذن للذين قتلوا بأنهم ظلموا وإن الله على نصرهم لقدير. This is what Abu Bakr Siddiq understood, and he heard and he said, we understood with this verse, it was a question of war. We are going to struggle, we are going to resist. Permission is given to the people who are oppressed to resist. Meaning by this, you have now to stand up. If you want to survive, you're not going to be always okay with a peaceful resistance. They want to kill you, stand up. So this is also part of this message. The legitimate resistance. You are going to be killed, you have the right to resist. So this is something which is important for us as something which is part of a dimension of Islam. It doesn't mean that the first attitude is wrong or it's outdated or is mensukha that you have. No, it's all there. But you have another strategy because the opposition is changing. And it's changing, it's going to kill you. They want to destroy you. So now you have a community you have to resist. You are equipped to resist and you should be equipped to resist. وَقَاتِلُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُونَكُمْ. So struggle, strive, resist. Be ready to resist the people who are going to attack you. وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا. Don't transgress. Respect the limits. And get this, it's quite important. They are attacking you, you resist, but there are limits. And what we got as the limits is that you can't kill innocent people, you can't kill civilians. Remember, this was said by the Prophet ﷺ when he was sending the companions in the north, and he said it, you can't kill innocent people, children, women, religious people, and you cannot destroy even nature. You have to respect the fruit trees, because this is not part of the struggle. So you target the army because they want to kill you, but you don't transgress. You respect the limits. So there is something which is from the very beginning, ethics of war. We don't kill innocent people, and we have to stop and to respect the innocents and the civilians. So, having said that now, and then we come to the understanding of our religion. And you get something which is in the same verse that I was mentioning. الَّذِينَ أُخْرِجُوا مِنْ دِيَارِهِمْ بِغَيْرِ حَقٍ إِلَّا أَنْ يَقُولُوا رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ. Those who have been just rejected from and removed and expelled from their house for the only reason that they are saying Allah is our Lord, رَبُّنَا اللَّهِ. And look at what is coming afterward, which is very important. And this is where you need to get this. You need to get this because it's part of the struggle.
ولولا دفع الله الناس بعضهم ببعض لهدمت صوامع وبيع وصلوات ومساجد يذكر فيها اسم الله كثيرا.
If Allah had not put a set of people against a set of others, you would have sanctuaries, temples, prayers and masajid, mosques being destroyed.
Meaning what? This struggle between human beings, these struggles between nations,
these conflicts are putting us in a risk, but they are necessary for our survival. No humanity without conflicts, because absolute power is the destruction of the world. Absolute power for human beings. The only absolute power is for Allah. Allahu la ilaha illa.
But you have two verses starting exactly the same. وَلَوْلَا دَفْعُ اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ. The world, the earth would have been corrupt if there is no this diversity. And this diversity is important. But what does it mean? This is the اللَّهِ النَّاسَ بَعْضَهُمْ بِبَعْضٍ لَفَسَدَتِ الْأَرْضِ. The world, the earth would have been corrupt if there is no this diversity. And this diversity is important. But what does it mean? This is the very meaning of jihad. The very meaning of jihad that you will find on earth, among human beings, people who are going to oppress, people who are going to kill, people who want power, money, and hegemony. You have to resist. This is in the name of your humanity, in the name of God. You have to resist oppression. You have to resist anyone who is going to be an oppressor. You have to. So if you are in Canada, if you are in the United States of America, if we are in Europe, if we are in Africa, if you see someone, if you see a government, if you see anyone, in the name of your faith, you have to resist any kind of oppression. Why? Because if you let absolute power for any nation, it will be corruption on earth. This is a rule. So the dignity of human being, if when you see transgressors, is to stand up. So first, with all the peaceful means that you can. But if it's a question, sometimes they are going to destroy, they are going to kill, resistance is legitimate. So I'm not buying all this discourse today that we are pushed to repeat that we are only peaceful and not ready to resist. If you buy this discourse, you are forgetting that your added value is we won't never give up facing oppression and colonization and transgression of any kind of, or not respecting human dignity. So this is something for me which is so important today, because I see it. I see it among Muslims, this psychological war where we come with an understanding of Islam which is not exactly the reality of our message. Now, you can't deny the fact, and this is what I was saying, that there are different interpretations. And we keep on repeating, you know what? We can't go and kill innocent people. وَمِنْ أَجْلِ ذَلِكَ كَتَبْنَا عَلَى بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَنَّهُ مَنْ قَتَلَ نَفْسًا بِغَيْرِ نَفْسٍ أَوْ فَسَادٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ كَأَنَّهُ قَتَلَ النَّاسَ جَمِيعًا. We keep on repeating this. We say, we reveal to Bani Israel that anyone who is going to kill someone with no reason, and here it's مِنْ غَيْرِ نَفْسٍ, which is someone who has been killed before, as something which is here, the understanding of this interpretation of retribution for murder, or murderous sedition, or fasad in fil ard, or corruption on earth. Anyone who is going to kill one is as if he is going to kill the whole humanity. We keep on repeating this, saying we can't kill. The problem is that you have to face many interpretations as Muslims. You can't just quote this verse and say, look, that's it. when people are saying, look, repeat the verse, please.
من غير نفس أو فساد في الأرض.
Okay, come. Let me ask you something. This hyperpower that we have around the world now, this the United States of America, or the rich nation, Europe, Canada even, what are they doing? What are they doing? Are they not spreading corruption on earth? What are they doing in Iraq? What are they doing in Afghanistan? What are they doing in the Middle East? Can you say, oh, nothing? I don't know. So someone who is coming to tell you, I interpret this as corruption on earth, so this verse is not working for that, you can't say you are not a good Muslim. You have to respond to that. Interpretation versus interpretation. So don't quote verses in a very simple way without understanding that the people who are using these verses to kill, they have interpretations and they are trying to understand the world. So this is why to a religious interpretation, you have to come with a religious interpretation to say there is a religious problem here. And as Muslims, we have to acknowledge the fact that we have Muslims understanding some verses in a way which is a literalist way, not contextualized, and we have to understand that. Now, you have to add something else. Is that why the Prophet ﷺ changed the strategies? Because the environment was changing. It was not the same in Mecca that it was in Medina. So, you may have the same principles, but the strategies is changing depending on the environment. How do you call this? This is called politics. So are you going to respond to the Muslims only with verses? You have to come with strategies and politics. Is this the right strategy? And why are you using this? So two things. Is this the right understanding? And is this the right strategy? The right understanding of the text and the right understanding of the context. Principles and strategy. We have to come to this. Are we doing this as Muslims? No, now we are so scared that the only thing that we are responding to the people is, you know what, Islam is a religion of peace. Pray during the night and disappear during the day. I'm sorry to tell you, this is a betrayal of the Islamic message. A betrayal. We are not understanding the message of Islam here, and we have to come to this understanding. So when it comes to infasad fil ard, of course, I would be the first to say, you know what? I'm a European. I'm a Westerner. I'm a Western Muslim. But I understand something, that when someone is telling me that I have to resist the corruption that is spread by industrialized and powerful nations, I have to, yes. Now I have to say yes, that what is done now in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Palestine, in Africa, this is corruption and this is oppression. I have to say that. Now I have to come and to say, but this is not the right way to read the verse. It's not the right way that in order to face oppression, you can go and kill the people. You can't do that because we have rules in Islam. You don't kill the civilians and you don't kill the innocent people. So you come with a better understanding of the verse, a better understanding of the context, and you come with something which is a structural way to deal with these problems. And the Muslims are not doing this. This is the intellectual jihad. وَجَاهِدْهُمْ بِهِ the Qur'an in your mind, because your mind should be the way you deal with the verses. Are you using your mind or quoting the verse? Are with literalists and people they want to kill, they just quote the verse and that's it. They just not come with this and with this verse, and they just cut the verses and they don't refer to the verses. وَقَاتِلُوا الَّذِينَ يُقَاتِلُوكُمْ فِي الدِّينِ وَلَا تَعْتَدُوا, and they come not with this, which is you have to fight the people who are fighting you. They come with the verse which is after that. وَاقْتُلُوهُمْ حَيْثُ ثَقِفْتُمُوهُمْ, kill them wherever you find them. I say, no, you can't do that. You can't take this verse and forget what is before that. So you have to contextualize the verse with the verses and the verses with the context. I'm sorry to tell you, brothers and sisters, in Islam,
that now we need scholars to be able to say this, but every single Muslim in this time should know this. This is the basic knowledge of Islam. Because you should be in your daily life resistance. You should stand up for justice. And justice is principles and understanding. Your mind is your first weapon. Your mind should be your first weapon. Exactly what the way it was put in the Quran. So, this is for me so important that I see today too many Muslims not coming to this. Now, having said yes, there are interpretations. And there is a diversity of interpretations. Now we have to say, look, we may disagree on the way we read the Quran. And there is a diversity of strategies. And even the Prophet ﷺ himself had strategies in Mecca and other strategies in Medina. And the companions had different strategies, the way they were dealing with this. Now we have different interpretations, but it should be clear that anyone who is going to kill innocents and civilians that have nothing to do with the war are going beyond what is the accepted diversity of interpretations. So my first attitude is to say it's not only non-Islamic, it's anti-Islamic. After the first victims of the people who are killed on the ground, the second victims are the Muslims. All of us are victims of this interpretation. So we have to put limits and to understand when and how we are going to deal with this interpretation. Now, let us come to the practicalities. You know, there are people who are quite smart. And if we are not smart enough in anything which has to do with political interpretations with religious understanding, when we speak about killing, when we speak about war, we speak about the principles that I mentioned here, that there are the limits, and we know that there is something in Islam which is legitimate resistance. Not only it's legitimate, but it's necessary, because if we are not resisting, the world and the earth is going to be corrupt, and people are going to destroy. We need this. We need to stand up in the name of justice. We know that. We know that we stand up in the name of justice, and you know the discussion that we had indirectly with Imam Zaid Shaker yesterday about the means and the ends. By the way, I completely agree with what he said now, which was just clarifying what he said yesterday. We agree on that. But it's quite important to be very cautious here. Justice is a means towards peace. Justice is not an end per se. Be careful. Don't worship justice. Use it as a means, and Allah SWT is putting it in the Quran. Inna Allah ya'muru bil 'adl wal ihsan. Ihsan is something which is beyond. This capacity to go beyond justice and to say, in the name of God, I can forgive you. In the name of God, I can forget that. In the name of God, I can go beyond this. But there are principles. You don't come to steal my bicycle and then to come to me and say, al ihsan is to forgive me. No, you give me back the bicycle and then I forgive you. No, it's just an example talking about Palestine. Because some people are pushing the Palestinians to this, just forgive them. But give back the legs and then we talk. No! No! Think about it. Think about it. It's not time to clap. It's a time to think about our resistance in this. So this is al-ihsan. Ihsan is not to compromise. Ihsan is to be able to forgive before, beyond justice, but also to be clear on the principles. Now, let me come to the practicalities. You know, Sharon, just after September 11, he said something which was important for all of us, because we have to be clear. He said, oh, now you know what it means to deal with terrorists. And we have our terrorists. Our terrorist is Yasser Arafat. He was putting at the same level. You know, listen to this. If you only come with religious principles, you are going to be lost in this discussion. You need the religious principles and the political understanding. He's putting at the same level people killing innocent Americans in the streets of New York and Palestinians resisting oppression in Palestine. He said, these are the same people. And you know what I heard? Many Muslims are buying this. I said, oh no, we are not going to, it's not the same. Resisting oppression is not the same as killing innocent people. So we would say killing innocent people is wrong. And I would even say in Palestine, the legitimate resistance to face the weapon or the armed oppression is to resist the armed oppression. Even though, and I said it from the beginning, before even September 11, I think it's wrong to kill innocent people in Tel Aviv. I think it's wrong. I think that we have to be clear on the fact that the resistance should be the resistance to the oppressors. I think an innocent is an innocent. So, get me right. The Palestinian resistance is completely legitimate, but we may disagree on the means. Now, if someone is telling me it's the weapon of the poor people, I understand this, because this was in history. In the West, we have done this. During the Second World War, it happened. So you can't just forget, and this is why we need to learn about history, is that how Europe has been protected during the Second World War by terrorist attacks in France, in Germany, in Britain, because the people were resisting. That's why these were strategies. I'm talking about the principles. The principles is you don't target civilians and you don't target innocent people. But the resistance is legitimate, and we cannot put the two attitudes at the same level. So as much as we can say it's completely wrong and it's anti-Islamic to kill in Casablanca, in Bali, in Amman, in Indonesia, or in Madrid, or in London, this is wrong, we need now to contextualize when it comes to legitimate resistance. To say, what is permitted in London, this is wrong. We need now to contextualize when it comes to legitimate resistance. To say, what is permissible? In Islam, it's legitimate to resist when the people are oppressing you. And you have to say this. You know, many people, when I was banned from the States, I have to tell you the truth, by the way. Many people forgot me when I was banned. Just to be close to Tariq Ramadan was not the right time to be close to him. But when I came back to the city, I said, MashaAllah, Tariq, yeah. Yeah. Okay, the people who are courageous afterward, when it's over. But what I was saying, it was clear in the embassy, in the American embassy in Switzerland. I know and I knew why I was banned. Not because I was supporting a terrorist Palestinian group. No. Because 80% of the questions that I got in the American embassy were on my positions in Iraq and Palestine, saying, I may disagree with the means, but their resistance is legitimate because what you are doing is wrong. And every country, even... No, don't clap here and be silent outside. So, be silent here and be vocal outside. Okay? This very easy way to be courageous in this hall, it's too easy for me. We will change Canada and the public opinion if we are able to be vocal, peacefully, clearly, outside. Not to clap among ourselves. So here, it's important. To get this is to be able to say, no, I'm not going to accept what you are doing. Your war in Iraq is a mistake. It's illegal. You are killing innocent people. And you know what I got? People coming to me during the last months and say, you are a Muslim intellectual. What do you think of the Christians being killed in Iraq? I say, what's that? What are you talking about? You are forgetting millions of Muslims, and when you have Christians, you count the Christians? So let me tell you something. I condemn the killing of Christians, and I condemn the killing of Muslims and every single human being, whatever is his or her religion. Say the same. We want you to come to this understanding. So please, don't come with this understanding of Islam when we are not involved in the discussion. Question the questions that are put to you. in a consistent way, with courage, with consistency and courage. This is the added value of Muslim citizens, Muslim Canadian citizens, and Muslim American citizens. So now, when it comes to this, to be able to say not the same, you know, in the last book, The Quest for Meaning, many Muslims came to me and said, oh, it's not completely about Islam. It's all about Islam, but talking about other traditions and talking about history. I'm advocating in the book that we need to reconcile ourselves with four disciplines. The first one is history and memory. The second one is a better knowledge of religions, not only ours, but all the religions and spiritualities. The third one is to be a better, have to get a better knowledge of philosophy and the questions, and then also of arts and anything which has to do with imagination. But with history, it's something which is important. Why? Because we don't study. Remember, I heard some Muslims, they are completely colonized with this idealized, romanticized image of Gandhi. Gandhi was, by the way, very clear on some of the issues. He liked Hussein, radiallahu anhu, the grandson of the Prophet, saying he went as a non-violent, resisting with his whole family, saying, I'm not going to give up in the name of justice. So he was courageous. Non-violence is not to be coward, it's to be courageous. It's to go and to say, I'm ready. You want to kill me? Come. Come and kill me if you are ready. I remember this, that my mother was crying once. You know what these people who now say, don't say that you had the grandson of Hassan al-Banna, radiallahu anhu, rahimahullah, don't say this because you know the Muslim Brotherhood is something that, what is this? What are you talking about? Maybe the people have to read more about this. 90% of what he wrote is in Arabic and the people are not reading. He's the one that I got from my father and my mother saying, سَنُقَاتِلُ النَّاسَ بِالْحُبِّ. We are going to fight with love, because love is our weapon, our mind and our love. And once, you know, at that time in the 40s, you were able to get a weapon when you are a leading of an organization. And my mother heard her mother telling my grandfather, they are going to kill you. So she was 15 years old, she went and she tried to get the weapon to give him to protect himself. I said, no, I don't want it. Leave this weapon. Because if I'm not going to use it, they want to kill me, they will kill me. Because al-qatil wal-maqtul fi an-nar. This is the hadith. If you're going to resist, you are going to go, it's over. He didn't want to use this. And once she heard from a Christian with whom I wrote a book, and the Christian was in Africa, and he was attacked by people, and he said, my family, my wife, and my kid, I'm going to protect them. He went and he took the weapon. If they come, I'm going to kill, because it's legitimate resistance. And then he said, no, I can't do that. So he went and he put the weapon and said, if they come, it's okay. I'm going to be killed. So you have strategies. Both are right. There is legitimate resistance and there is something which is, okay, come, I'm ready. So this is exactly what I got in my family. And she started crying when she heard this. This is exactly what I heard from my father. That sometime in the strategy, you are more powerful if you are ready not to resist with violence and to leave the one who is using violence with his or her violence. So these are strategies and sometimes you have to deal with that. So, as we are dealing with this, and we have to understand history. You know, Gandhi was saying, resisting oppression and resisting injustice within the society, he was saying, we need to change the name of the people, and the Dalit, the pariah, the untouchable, are going to be called Harijan. Children of God. Ahmed Carr, who was a jurist, said, no, I don't agree with your strategy. You go for non-violence, I'm going to resistance. These people are oppressed, and in the name of their oppression, they should resist. And then they have two strategies. We have to deal with this. Why? Because from an Islamic viewpoint, the two are right. That you have to give positive message to the people, say, okay, be ready to sacrifice yourself and sometimes you don't have another option but to resist with your weapon and say, we are oppressed, we are going to stand up. So you now, in Canada, you need to find your strategy here to be able to be citizens standing up for justice. Your strategy should be for here. To be citizens standing up for justice. Your strategy should be for here. You can't decide the strategies of the Palestinians and the Iraqi people. You can say we don't agree with the means, but you have to acknowledge the fact that it's legitimate for them to resist. And you have to say it. We are supporting the resistance, even though we don't accept the means that they are using. But every single human being, every single Muslim should find her or his strategy here, now. How are we going to do this? Always based on the principles. Always based, so the same principles in a specific context can have different strategies. So this is what we heard, and this is the story I'm just studying the story in the book, just to show to all of us that we are sharing principles. Tell me something. Do you think that there is anything that I said in this room today that is not understandable by non-Muslims? That's not true. What I'm just translating now is a universal message. That we have non-violent resistance. That sometimes we need resistance, that sometimes we need armed resistance, that sometimes we have different strategies, as long as the principles are clear. Don't you think that as Canadian Muslims, American Muslims, Western Muslims, this is the added value to come back to the principles and to let the people understand that you have principles and courage and determination that you are not going to give up? Is it not your position? Is it not you with the memory of your countries of origin? By the way, the great majority of you, some of you are Canadian and they converted to Islam. Some of you are coming from Africa, from Afghanistan, from Iraq, from Egypt. My country of origin, where I cannot go. And this is something also which is very important for us. I can see things here that I cannot see in Muslim majority countries. We need to know this. That I'm banned from there, banned from six Muslim majority countries. Why? Because there is no freedom of expression. And my consistency is also to be critical towards these countries by saying, you are betraying not only the message of Islam, but anything which has to do with human dignity. And we're not going to give up. I'm not in Canada to forget where I'm coming from. I'm in Canada. I'm in the States to be able to speak about all these dimensions. To stand up for justice and to be self-critical and critical towards my own government. So my conclusion here, as we only have 1 minute left, is really to come with, to this understanding of these strategies and this understanding of Islam, that sometimes, yes, you have to be ready for fighting and ready for resistance, knowing our principles, understanding the realities, and please, our religious principles and the context. You know, when the elections in Palestine were set and decided, I was not understood by many Muslims and many Arabs. I said from the very beginning, don't go for this election. This is a trap. It's a trap. They are going to just use this to put you in a box. And they will just put the cover in the box. And it happened. It's about what? A strategy. That they knew who was going to win. And they knew how to put the Palestinian in a very bad situation. Many Muslims didn't agree with me, and many Arabs didn't agree with me. They said, what are you talking about? This is the time. It was not the time. So now, we need to be able, when we discuss strategies, to be able to say, when we discuss strategy, it doesn't mean that we are a better Muslim or not a Muslim or not enough a Muslim and our faith is not a strong faith. We need to be able to understand this. In your society today in Canada or in the United States, we will have many different opinions on strategies, but at least let us be clear on what is accepted as interpretations of Islam. This is why we need to learn history. This is why we need to get a better understanding of our principles. And this is why I like the way our Imam Zaid Shakir was
ending by saying dream. And I would say the problem with the Muslims is that they are dreaming the past and dreaming the future and blaming the present. You have to study the past, face the present, and dream the future. But you have to face the present. You have to be facing the present and to look at what is happening now. So it means to be humble and at the same time ambitious. Humble because we are doing what we can, but ambitious, we want to change the world. And you have to be serene, with lots of serenity. That's it, alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah, natawakkalu ala Allah. This is serenity, but also at the same time, courageous. We lack courageous Muslims. Remember, afdalul jihad, kalimatu haqqin amam sultanin jahir. The Prophet said that the best jihad, the best resistance, is a word of truth facing a transgressor, facing an oppressor. And we have lots of oppressors today. So ask yourself, are you ready for that? Are you nurturing your spirituality? And I completely agree with what you said. Liberation is a means towards salvation. But salvation is the goal, and your liberation is to be able to face this oppression, to face what the people are saying in this attitude. Let me tell you that all the means are important. Today, we should hear voices being able to say here in Canada that some treatments to some prisoners are wrong, that you have to face and to call for more justice. You need to be able to speak about Africa, about Iraq, about Afghanistan, about Palestine. And be careful. I heard now people saying, you know what, I'm a Sufi, so I pray a lot, I fast a lot. It's a way for them to confuse Sufism with a kind of giving up. It never was the case in history. Anyone who is telling you that the Sufi are not facing injustice is lying. The Sufis, the true Sufis, not this new look Sufism. So invisible during the day and just, you know, this kind of lack of courage, betrayal. The Sufi were standing up. And the first one is the Prophet, he was the first Sufi. He was the first one praying during the night and standing up during the day saying, well, I'm not going to leave. For one woman, he said to all an army, let's go now. We are going to face them. This is justice. For one woman, this is the meaning of the verse. Man qatala nafs.